Welcome back once again to season 4 of the podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Blackwood. As many of you know, I wrote my autobiography as a survivor of human trafficking. It's called Custom Justice. But if you didn't know, you do now. Keeping in line with that, this entire season and last season has been focused on interviewing people who did or plan to write about their own experiences as trauma survivors and how they overcame the past. And as much as we all hate commercials, they are a necessary evil these days. This is what keeps the show on the air. You can also show your support by purchasing one of my mini books or donating through PayPal or leaving a review on whatever platform you listen to this podcast on. You can find the links for the books or donation options in the podcast description. As always, a portion of the proceeds go to local organizations that help fight human trafficking. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Can you believe it's already the 1st of December? I have an incredible lineup for you guys this month. This month is specifically geared toward guests that are appropriate for Christmas. As such, I know that we previously had an episode with Donna Tashjian. She was amazing talking about her own overcoming the past, but she's back today because she has a very deep root in Christian faith, and she's an ordained minister, and I love this lady so much. And Donna, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Amanda. It's a pleasure to be here.
I just absolutely loved you the first time we talked. It was like I was talking to one of the most empathetic, understanding, gentle souls I've ever met in my life.
Well, thank you.
You're just awesome. You know, and I love that about you. And that's one of the big reasons I wanted you back. So how did you become an ordained minister? What was that process like?
It was an interesting process where I knew that there was a calling on my life. It's the best way I know how to describe it for majority part of my life. And have you ever experienced things where you know this about yourself? You know there's something, but other people are dismissive, unrecognizing it, those kind of things. And so that was a lot of my experience. Have you experienced things like that?
Most of my life.
Yes. And so I finally said when I started Vibrant Living, which is, it's a nonprofit organization set up in that way. And when I started it, the whole thing began about 10 years ago this year. And, I began to finally say yes to do what I really believed I was called to do. And a lot of times the way that was in my heart was, it's not like everybody else is doing it. So it felt, you know, you're being pioneering, you're going against, this is not the way we do it kind of an attitude. So anyway, I began this whole process of just, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to do what I believe God's called me to do and figure this out, because nobody's done this exactly like I feel like he's calling me to do. So through that process, someone that had been in my life, a ministry association had been in my life for decades at that point, recognized the call on my life as I began to step into it. But I took the first step, which is interesting, right? There's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so they said, it's about time. And so that's the process that I became ordained.
My goodness. How cool. I love that you decided that you were, you know, this is what you've been called to do. You're going to do it, even though you don't know how to do it and nobody else has ever done it before.
And I wasn't concerned about the title. Like I could legally or, you know, truthfully use Reverend or something like that. And I just want to be Donna. Like you said, I just want to sit down with coffee and talk with you. And that's, you know, not always done when you get titles. A lot of times, you know, I was just going to be me and the titles caught up with me.
Yeah. Did people start treating you as though you were untouchable because of the titles?
I had a couple people that were in my sphere. Oh, hi, Reverend, and very sarcastically. And, you know, I am very intuitive, very perceptive, and I know things, and I knew who to expect it from. But it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big thing. But a lot of people that were in my sphere, it's like, okay, so what does this mean? And do I treat you different? And so that was a little bit of adjustment in the beginning.
Yeah, I bet. Have you always been a believer? Did you grow up in a church?
I grew up in a Christian household. We didn't always, it was had the basis of Christianity, but there was a lot of religiousness to it, which means when I say religious, I am meaning rules, regulations, and no matter what I can do, I can probably never live up to it.
Right.
That's what I mean by religious. And so religious means different things to different people. So I defined it for me. So yes. There was a lot of that my parents felt like they couldn't find a church that was, I don't want to say good enough, but right, because they felt they believed certain things a certain way. So we would do things at home. We would attend smaller churches. We moved a lot. But one thing that through it all, I got to know God. I got to know who he was. I even said once to one of my relatives, no, that's not the God that I serve. You know, wow. The one that's going to be out to get me or get me if I do wrong. I'm like, that's not who he is. You might serve that God, but that's not who I serve.
Right. I love that. Do you have a specific religion that you follow now? Are you non-denominational, Pentecostal, there's so many different branches of religion.
I really don't like labels. I think I made that pretty clear.
Yes, you did. We could skip over that if you like.
So I'm going to go with non-denominational. Okay. And, you know, you will find Jesus in all of the different places because he meets people where they are. And then it's his church. I don't need to figure out who's right or wrong. It's his job. It's too big anyway. Right. So I focus on having a relationship with God, believing his word and loving people.
I love that. That's actually how I ended up in a non-denominational church myself.
Right.
Kind of the same path. I didn't like the titles. I didn't like the division. It's like, you know, this isn't what church should be about.
Right.
Yeah. So how did your faith and your religion help you to get through all of your past traumas?
Well, at the age of 12, I was baptized. And for me, the experience was immersion in water. We were at a pond, that kind of setting, and I'm 12 years old. But that created an experience with God. Something happened for me that day. And, I began to learn how to develop a relationship with God. Little did I know in 2 years, I would have major trauma in my life. Not that my childhood had been super, just bed of roses, but for those of you who didn't miss the first podcast or don't know about my history, at the age of 14, someone that was close to my family hurt me and I became pregnant. It was not a consensual situation. And at 15, I'm a mother. Do you remember where you were when you were 15?
Running away from home.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rough place. And now I'm a mom, and I had a little girl, and one of the biggest blessings in my life, and trying to figure out how to be a mom while you're still a child. And at that point, with the error that I that this occurred in, with the decade that this happened. It wasn't okay that you were pregnant. It didn't matter why, if you weren't married. And so my parents hid me. They didn't kick me out. So that was, some people that happens to. And so I had a place to live, and but I was completely isolated. There was no internet. There was no cell phones to connect with your friends. There was no one but me, my baby, and God. And in that error, also in my family, these kind of things weren't talked about. We never discussed it. I told him I was pregnant. We helped prepare for the baby's arrival, but there was never a discussion, anything, nothing.
Wow.
So it was if I was miraculously pregnant, and there was never any discussion at all. And so there was nobody to talk to. I didn't have anybody to process this except God.
Wow. And a brand new baby in your arms.
And a brand new baby.
And you certainly don't want to be telling all of us to a brand new baby.
No, absolutely.
Is she aware now of who her father is?
Yes.
So how did that conversation go? I mean, that could not have been easy. How old was she when you finally told her?
She was 14, and I don't remember how she figured it out.
Oh, she figured it out.
Yeah, I don't remember specifically having that conversation with her, because I probably never was going to. She was adopted by my husband when she was 5.
No.
So that's when we got married. And so after we were married, he adopted her. So she had had a daddy, you know, for majority of her life. But it was a very rocky place for our whole family when that came to light. Because anytime secrets come out, it causes upheaval. And who did that make her and her identity and all of that? And she was also 14 when that happened. So it was a rough place for a little while. She's doing amazing today.
Wow. That's such an awesome kiddo, though. She's like, you know, we'll get through it.
Yep.
That's very cool. So tell me a little bit about your podcast. You have your own podcast called You Were Designed for Greatness. What do you talk about? Who do you talk to?
The main mission is to inspire people and let them know they are designed for greatness. And as always, my focus is helping us overcome the pain and disappointment that sometimes happens in life. So it is stories, tools, strategies, books, other resources to help us overcome, to help us to shine and do it brightly. So the podcast is myself, and I interview other women sharing their stories of overcoming. And the podcast, one of the things that I loved about a podcast is the wonderful information you can get. But for me and my lifestyle, those hour-long podcasts, I could never finish them. And so I'm always trying to remember, oh, I left off here, you know, and go back and finish it. So for whatever reason, this was my size. So I designed the podcast to be 15 or 20 minutes. Almost any car ride you take is 15, 20 minutes. You know, if you go on a walk, you might be able to listen to two or so, but it's a shorter podcast. So I'm the one that gets to the point quickly.
I love it. I try to keep mine confined to 27 to 30 minutes, but mm-hmm. I think I like your process. I think that makes perfect sense.
So that's why I did it.
Back. I love it. And you've got 4 books that you've written. Your clients rave about you. Oh my gosh. Is there anything that you don't do?
I'm not an athlete. I don't run.
I have multiple shirts that I wear when I go walking that say I hate running.
Yes.
So I'm with you there.
Yes, I don't run.
And you, that your clients say that you have a knack for turning fear into excitement and exposing lies to, so the truth can shine through. So I'm not even sure how I do it, but I do turn my fear into excitement every time I'm getting ready to walk out on stage and face an audience and tell my story. Mm-hmm. So how do you put that in words? How do you turn fear into excitement?
Well, one of the things to help people realize that we often, whenever we anticipate and do something that is new or unknown, our mind wants to say, is this safe? If you talk about going out on stage, am I going to be booed? You know, like, is this safe? Is nobody going to like me? And all those kind of things. But at the same point, the actuality is fear and excitement aren't really that much different in your, the way your body responds, if you think about it. And so helping us to recognize the fear that actually needs to be there to keep us safe, and the ones that's actually preventing us to stepping into what you think. I didn't feel fear starting this Vibrant Living. And, anytime we do something, and especially no one's done this exactly like I'm doing it. So all of that is recognizing it. Okay, so I'm about to step out on stage and I speak to my body. You're going to make a tremendous difference in these people's lives. You're okay. Everything's fine. This is something to be excited about, not to dread. And recognizing that fear to do something new is actually fun when you know, can tell yourself that you're safe and recognize. When people have had trauma, fear is, an avoidance of fear is like their number one priority. Yeah. And it can at the same time stop us. I'm not going to be jumping off a cliff on a bungee cord and, you know, a lot of different, I'm not going to be doing those things. There are for some people, but at the same point, stepping into my gifts and using excitement instead of fear to guide me.
That is awesome. What a powerful tool to have in your tool belt. And if you guys are interested in finding out about how Donna is doing things a little bit differently, she does have a website, www.ivibrantliving.com. You can also go there to find her podcast, www.ivibrantliving.com/podcast. And she, her podcast is on Spotify, and she's got some awesome stuff. You guys go follow her and check out her podcast. Always the one last question before I let people go. And I know I asked you this in a previous episode, but the answer is always different when I talk to people. So what is one thing you love about yourself that's not related to your physical appearance?
My capacity to love people. To love people that resist it, that are afraid of it. That's one of the things that I love about me.
Beautiful. Well, Donna, would you like to say a happy, happy Christmas message to anybody out there?
Oh, Christmas and snow. I live in a cold area. We get snow. And so all of that is just wonderful to me. My Christmas message is remember why it's there. It's really not about the presents and all of those things. It's about the gift that we received.
Amen.
Merry Christmas. Don't forget to tune in at 6 p.m. Mountain Time on Christmas Eve for a reading of The Night Before Christmas. If you've enjoyed tonight's episode, please make sure you check out the episode description. There you'll find links on how you can learn more about this guest, links to connect with them on social media, and how to support the podcast. Remember, I don't get paid to do this. My boss is a bit tight-fisted. I can say that. I work for myself. In short, this show really is all about the guest. If you've enjoyed their interview, please feel free to let them know. You can also tune in to my other podcast, Growth from Darkness, which is co-hosted by a lovely lady from Australia. We talk about what trauma responses are and healthy ways to move beyond the past. For more information, just go to growthfromdarkness.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com. forward slash growth from darkness.